Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog. And there's Skeeter's clicky toes and his jingly collar in the background.
I'm your host, Scav. And tonight, I got chaos going on in the background myself.
Yeah, you got the dogs running around. It's a show about dogs, so. Tonight we've got a special guest, and it is my pleasure to introduce her. Scav's daughter, Alyssa, who is the author of The Real Scav and Scout Chronicles. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
I'm going to kind of turn it over to your dad because he knows the right questions to ask you because he knows you.
Oh, selling her out early. All right. So let's talk about first thing first. Why the book?
So originally it was supposed to be a school project, and I decided to use it to inform my fellow classmates as well as the other students in my school and maybe even some adults or other people that come through and read the book about service animals and how important they are in people like your life.
That's pretty cool. And I'm trying, you got to forgive me. It's been just a couple minutes since I've read that book.
Yeah, and she's been sitting up in the hallway reading it and got the head start on us there, JJ.
Right, yeah, she's cheating. We're old and we forget stuff. But I want to know how things changed in your eyes when Scout came home.
Yeah, I definitely saw a change in the way my dad was acting. He was kind of acting a little bit more calm, and I think Scout has a lot to do with that in calming him, especially when we're out in public, can definitely help. So, yeah, I would definitely say he was an asset to have, and he's definitely a part of the family. So,
well, that's a good point. Tell me a little bit about him being a part of the family.
So he pretty much goes everywhere with us, and he's constantly glued to Dad no matter what. So if Dad moves into the next room, Scout gets up and follows him. It doesn't matter what he's doing.
And he's like a tick.
Yeah, he gets like really bad separation anxiety if he can't see Dad. It's pretty bad. He'll start like whining and shaking, and that's when he comes to me because he's the most comfortable with me aside from my dad.
Okay. Yeah.
JJ, this is what's really cool because we're going to get to hear the other side of what you and I don't ever get to see.
That's exactly why I'm asking.
Yeah, because, you know, when I go on these fire calls, Scout can't go. Or yeah. When I go out in the woods hunting, Scout can't go. So we're actually going to get to hear, you know, from the other side what the dog actually does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Scout most of the time will sit there and nose the door if Dad goes out hunting or on a fire call. He'll sit there and nose the door or watch out the window until he sees the Jeep or hears the Jeep coming back down the street. Mm-hmm. And if sometimes the fire calls are hours and hours and hours long, and Scout will kind of come hang out with me and be glued to me like he's glued to Dad because he doesn't know what else to do. I was there through all of his training. So like I said, aside from my dad, he's the most comfortable with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of that comfort when he's not around.
Now you went to training with your dad and Scout. What was that like for you? Because Scout's not there. I mean, you're his secondary handler if Dad can't handle him for some reason, which is a smart thing. You know, if Dad ended up, you know, in a hospital bed or something. Yeah. So what was it like doing that, going to training and learning the same things your dad was learning about handling and training his service dog?
It was really cool to see how they can just pick up on stuff that a normal dog may not because of the specialized training. Even through his basic training, he seemed to be picking up his skills faster than like my dog Sadie when we were training her. So to see that was kind of cool that he was actually paying attention and learning so quickly. And that's exactly what he needed to do. He needed to get those skills down, get through his basic training, so he could move on to his new training and pick all of his skills up for actually aiding my dad in his day-to-day life. So I worked with him a little bit throughout that process, mostly when we got home. So he listens to me, but if dad tells him to do something, he's going to listen to him first instead of me.
Well, that's kind of the way it should be. Skeeter doesn't like to listen to anybody but me. But, you know, he's my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hold the trump card.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So dad's calmer out in public places because he's got Scout with him. What about just the dynamic at home? Can you talk a little bit about how things have changed from before Scout came and after?
Yeah, I noticed, like, especially around the 4th of July, Dad would get super stressed out from the fireworks and stuff, and then Scout's kind of here now, keeping him from getting so nervous from any fireworks or gunshots or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and then another thing is if Dad cuts himself and none of us are home, Scout, like, noses his leg because he can't feel his right leg from his knee down. Mm-hmm. So if he cuts himself there and none of us are home, we can't tell him, but Scout knows, mm-hmm. like, hey, Dad, you're bleeding. I need you to fix this.
That's kind of handy, huh?
Yeah.
Definitely. What about just relationships?
Yeah. I would say that Scout definitely just keeps everything under control for all of us. He's kind of there if any of us are panicking. He's just there to calm us down. And he's constantly glued to my dad, making sure, like, hey, you're okay, right? Like, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Which is really, really cool to see.
Good, good. So, Scav,
yeah.
from your perspective, why did you decide that you needed your daughter to train to be the secondary handler?
Well, I'm not going to live forever. In with the medical conditions, it was a smart play. When I sat down with my wife and we decided on service dog, it was one of those backup plans. Mm-hmm. You know, I think things probably through more than I should. And, you know, what happens if I walk out and get hit by a bus? What's going to happen to this dog? So we decided that we needed to pull through and have somebody that was capable of working a dog if I wasn't around. Or if I got laid up in a hospital for months and months and months, because it has happened. Mm-hmm. My wife works a full-time job. She can't have the dog there. So, Alyssa was a smart choice. You know, my boy was going to be moving on to college and he's not going to be able to take care of Scout at the house. So, we didn't say Alyssa was it by default. Alyssa was the most capable of doing it. You know, mm-hmm. She had the most interest and, she picked up on it really well. We actually thought she was going to make this a career. Mm.
Awesome. And so, Alyssa, you do have some interest in training dogs?
Yes, I do.
Very cool. And what are you thinking about if dogs are going to be part of your career?
I'm thinking that it would be really, really nice to be able to help people like you and my dad who really need dogs to help them through their everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And even just in general, so that dogs are there to, like, listen and comfort people and be their happy selves.
Yeah. Mine are grumpy right now. Sorry. You're grumping at Freya. Would you stop being obnoxious?
No, you heard it on the intro. We got Scout picking on him over here too. Yeah, I think once Alyssa decides and she gets a little bit older, what she wants to do, we may make an intro to somebody like Bart, mm-hmm. and get her going on her career path and see yeah. what she decides.
Well, I think I'm not 100% positive, but you just turned 16, didn't you, Alyssa?
No, I'll be turning 16 this October.
October. Okay. I think once you're 16, you might be able to apprentice with a trainer and start learning how to do dog training. So that's something to look forward to next fall. It's a great idea. And you have personal experience with the dog, you know, in your home. So you kind of know what it looks like with a service dog there and how that dog should behave and how that dog should work with its handler. So let's touch back to the book a little bit. You said that you wanted maybe some adults to learn about how the service dogs help their handlers. Why did you say that?
Because we took a trip to Blackwater Falls when I was in seventh grade. I was just getting ready to finish out school, and my mom had a work meeting down there, and we went down there. They were all like small shops. Nothing opened until around 10 o'clock. It was really, really cool to experience. And one of the shops kind of gave us troubles about Scout. Well, he's a service dog. He's allowed to go pretty much anywhere. So the fact that they were trying to tell us, like, no, you can't come in here. We're not allowing pets. He's not a pet. He's there for my dad to get around. Like, that is helping him get through life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I figured it could help people like that understand, oh, these people really need these dogs.
Well, yeah, right. That's the woman that actually asked me if I was blind.
Yeah.
Should have told her yes.
Oh, well, she got a high class education from a pissed off vet.
Yeah. Wow. So. And that can be kind of frustrating, definitely.
Yeah.
You see yourself writing some more books in the future?
Possibly, yes.
That's kind of cool. I encourage you to do that. Definitely.
What's really cool is
pretty neat to see it.
She's wrote a couple of PowerPoints.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of education. She did it in grade school. She's already done it in high school.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, she's out there educating as much as you and I are, as a matter of fact. Only she's doing it in the school system.
That's pretty fantastic. What do your peers think about service dogs? What do you see out there when you see kids talking about them?
I've especially noticed this after my presentations that I've done so far this year, being a freshman in high school, that my peers seem to have a interest in learning about the dogs. They think it's really cool how much they can really help people because they've only seen them working as like pets, mm-hmm. not as a working dog out in public every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they definitely have an interest in it, and I always answer their questions if they have any. They're aware that my dad has Scout, so.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious when it comes to games.
Yeah.
Well, it's really weird with this school, JJ, is I've not made an appearance down there until, what was it, the football cheerleader dinner?
Yeah, it was the football banquet.
So they heard about me. They knew I was around, but we never showed up in person until this dinner. And then all of a sudden, there's me and Scout. And I had absolutely no issues at all. So she's done a fantastic job. I
mean, yeah, awesome.
We walked in. I mean, even with the parents, we had no issues. So whatever she's doing it right.
Very cool.
You know, I'd like to get one of her in every school because, you know, that would be fantastic if we can educate through our children.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I'm working on. I have kind of mentioned it and hinted at it, but I've got a children's book actually in layout right now. And my artist, bless her heart, just made some last minute changes to two of the illustrations. So I've got to replace a couple drawings. But yeah, I think that the younger we can teach people what about service dogs, one, and two, how to behave when they see a service dog. Because some of the most frustrating things for us handling the dog is when people don't know how to act like, you know, grown-ups, for lack of a better term, when they see a dog. I mean, I can understand a 3-year-old going, wow, but a 60-year-old lady, oh my God, it's so beautiful. That gets a little annoying.
Well, what was funny is with her other school, it was what, PK through 8th grade, Alyssa?
Yes.
I did not have any trouble with any of those kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking PK 1 through 8th grade.
Yeah.
They would all ask, they're little kids, they're attracted to dogs.
Right, yeah.
They would all ask me if it was okay, or they would ask Alyssa, would your dad let me pet the dog? I had more issues with that principal and one of the teachers than anybody else. They just could not grasp the concept of a service dog.
You know, yeah, I remember you talking to me about being frustrated with the principal.
You know, she just could not wrap her mind around a service dog.
You know what? She doesn't have to. It's the law, and she has to follow it.
Right.
It's simple. Whether you get it or not, guess what the law says.
Right. You know, I would take the dog to church, and I would have Alyssa give the priest a heads up because that's what he asked. And then when he changed the priest, that priest asked the same thing. Just give me a heads up that the dog's coming. Fine. It's the law. I have to let the, you know, I don't, the priest tells, they don't have to let me in.
Right.
But as long as you're allowing me to give you a heads up and you're allowing the dog to come in, I will give you that heads up. Mm-hmm. But the school is completely different. You have to allow me to come in.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. But the kids weren't an issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, children are more accepting, I've found. Children, if you say he's a service dog and he's working, so we don't want to bother him, 89 out of 100 kids will say, okay, it's the parents who get bent out of shape when you say, no, he's working. I had a situation where a woman started screaming at me and calling me racist because I told her child that she couldn't pet Skeeter because he was working. And had absolutely nothing to do with the color of their skin. It had everything to do with the fact that the woman intentionally drug her kid across the store to follow us to try to get her kid to pet the dog. That was completely inappropriate.
Now, we went up there. What did we, Bill and I, go up there for? He's a combat Marine. Mm-hmm. And I went up there and we talked about our tours over in Iraq and Afghanistan. And those kids didn't even realize Scout was there. They were so engrossed in our stories.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. You know, Scout's sitting there right by my heel, and that class had no idea Scout was there. And that's what you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. You want your dog to be as intrusive as possible, aside from, you know, I mean, doing its tasks and things.
Right.
Alyssa, what if you're going to write another book, what's your next book going to be?
I think it's probably going to be about how we can help get this message out about how we need to act around service animals and why they're so important. Mm-hmm. And like why you shouldn't be petting them or making a point to talk to them or possibly distract them from something important.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. That's a very good subject to address. Absolutely. It's something that a lot of people don't seem to understand is that when they want to interfere, they could be endangering the person handling the dog.
Right.
Well, especially like your dad, you know, your dad, Scout hears for him.
Yeah.
And if somebody's distracting Scout and Scout's not able to let your dad know that something's coming from the other direction, that could be bad.
Yeah.
I almost got tagged again by a car today.
Yeah, you and I laugh about it, but it's not funny, you know?
Right.
It's not funny. I mean, in a way, it's funny, but at the same time, it's scary. It's
yeah. When you sit back and think about it, but, you know.
Yeah. Skeeter, you know, I mean, thankfully my hearing hasn't gotten that bad yet, but Skeeter helps me in different ways to avoid situations that could be dangerous. One of the most useful things he does for me is alert me when my blood sugar gets too low.
And he started doing that on his own, right?
Yeah. He figured that out on his own and saved my life. Literally the first time he alerted me to my blood sugar, I was about to pass out. And nobody would have found my body for 3 days because I was out camping.
And oh, yuck.
Peter absolutely refused to let me die. He refused to let me pass out. He made me stay awake and I realized something was wrong, and I got up and I had two bottles of juice in my cooler. I could have picked up a bottle of cherry juice, drank some cherry juice, and got my sugar up. I was so out of it, I made an entire meal, rice and everything, and ate it. And then I started feeling better. And when I started feeling better, I took my sugar, and it was 70, which is dangerously low.
Right. So
before I ate, my sugar must have been really low. Peter just absolutely refused to let me drop. He would not. He butted his head in the middle of my chest and kept ramming me. Just bam, bam. Would not let me pass out. It was pretty amazing. So the scary thing about that, though, is in order to train a dog to do that, you have to let your blood sugar get low.
Yep.
So every time he does alert, I'll take my sugar, and if it is low, I will reward him. And I have to do that in a very, you know, very quick. But every time it does happen, I make sure to make it known to him that he is a superhero, because he absolutely did let me know in time for me to do something about how low my sugar was.
Yeah, it's when you break out the special rewards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think last time I gave him a hot dog, just straight up like, here, eat this, you know, yeah, take that. The whole thing. You did awesome. I'm still here, you know.
Yeah, I've got a really good friend that uses an insulin pump, and I've been trying to talk him into getting a dog because his sugar is always dropping. Mm-hmm. He's having a really difficult time even keeping it up with a pump.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm afraid they're going to find him dead in his bed.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's scary. This is a scary subject. So having a young lady like you, Alyssa, who's interested in making sure that your peers understand how important these dogs actually are for their handlers, I want to tell you thank you very much, because not a lot of younger people, and there are some people your age who have service dogs, and even they aren't real good about trying to communicate the importance of a service dog and the proper etiquette around a service dog.
Right.
Yeah, they pretty much know what the dog's tuned into them for, and that's about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that that's a downfall in the service provided by companies that train the dogs, that they don't train the handlers. At least they don't train them very well.
Right.
And that's something that I think is an important thing that needs to be addressed. If the handler doesn't understand how they fit into the law and why they fit into the law, then the handler can get themselves in a lot of trouble. It's kind of these organizations are giving them dogs. They should be teaching them these things. I shouldn't have had to write a book.
Right.
You know,
you and I have gone over that quite a bit, and Alyssa's heard me bitch about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully that she spreads the word the way we need her to. Mm-hmm. She's a smart girl. She doesn't know the ADA quite as much or quite as thoroughly as you and I do, but she does know the law.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you live with somebody like me, that's...
Well, yeah, you kind of end up learning it.
It's kind of default.
Yeah. You know,
because how many conversations do I get in out in the stores, Alyssa, or here at the house?
Too many.
Yeah, it's just kind of repetitive after a while.
It does get, yeah, feel like a broken record some days, huh?
Yep.
I heard that.
Or a phone call in the Jeep. It's just like, Dad's doing it again.
We're going to take a quick break and pay some bills. You are listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Stay tuned to
WDVR
from
DVRadio.net.
We don't break the laws. We just make up our own.
DV Radio.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not an endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio free of charge.
Nothing interesting on TV? That's why you're listening to DVRadio.net WDVR.
This ain't reality TV!
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal!
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
Oh, rude! Well, isn't that special?
Bloody, don't you think you should rephrase that?
Mama said that.
Good day, sir!
Now class is dismissed, gentlemen.
And welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
Our special guest tonight is Scav's daughter, Alyssa Kahlo, who is an author and also Scout's alternate handler. And we've been talking a little bit about kind of her plans for the future. Alyssa, I want to know what the most important thing you think when you're talking to other people about service dogs, what's the most important message that you want them to understand?
Definitely to make sure that it's not for you guys to stand out or be special, but actually to help you fit into the rest of society and that you shouldn't be set apart from everybody else because of your disabilities and needing a dog.
Holy shit.
That is very well stated. That is absolutely well stated. In fact, you know, I was talking to somebody about that today, about how the, you know, we don't take a service dog with us because we want people to notice us. We take a service dog with us because we can't go there without our dog.
Right.
And I think you're right. A lot of people don't get it, that the dog's not there to entertain them. The dog's there to assist me, you know, right. The handler. Yeah.
You don't know how many people we shock on a daily basis when I tell them, I wish I didn't have him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love Skeeter. I think of him as my brother. But I would see, if I had to lose my right arm, I'd probably still need him. But I would trade anything for him not to have to work and for him to just be the best pet ever, you know? Yep. In order to have a service dog, you've got to be disabled. And that dog has to be able to help you with your disability. They are a necessity.
And what makes you feel really bad is, you know, when they're having a bad day, because dogs have bad days just like humans do.
Absolutely.
When those dogs have a bad day, they will continue to work as shitty as they feel to go out and provide for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, when I'm having a bad day and I don't want to get up, the one thing that I have to get up for no matter what is the fact that I've got a dog. And at some point in time, somebody's going to have to take him out to potty.
Yep.
You know, so even when I'm really not feeling well, the dog at least gives me a reason to go outside and get some fresh air 3 or 4 times per day.
Right.
You know, because he can't let himself, well, I mean, he probably could let himself out. Thankfully, he hasn't figured that out yet. I bet the mailman's glad, too.
Well, it's good if you're like, you have mass depression or whatever, you're not going to sleep in till noon 7 days a week with a service dog. You have to get up at some point to let that dog out.
Yep. And it's you know, I mean, and especially with people with PTSD, I think that's probably one of the biggest key factors is, look, you've got to get your dog, you've got to take your dog out. You've got to work your dog. So in order to work your dog, you've got to go places where your dog can work.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're going back to the grocery store or going to the mall or going to a restaurant or to a movie because you found a new job working your dog.
Well, was it Hoppy that just invited his entire friends list to both of our pages?
I think so.
That son of a bitch. Because I noticed there's quite a bit of new people showing up on my page, and a lot of them are starting to question why I work Scouts too early, you know, because I get there 6:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. and then we work for the first 15 or 20 minutes before I actually am supposed to be on the clock.
Right.
So, you know, for 15 or 20 minutes, we just go over whatever mm-hmm. in a store style environment because the whole front end of my building is a convenience store. Mm-hmm. You know, why not use that to our benefit for, you know, to train him?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like the ideal training environment.
Right. We can go over everything we would do out in public with no public.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the first thing we do. You know, I'll go out to get my cup of coffee and he posts at my six and we just start our day training. And then, you know, when the people start to come in an hour or so later, then he's actually on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
So then and people just can't understand or wrap their minds why we would start training so early in the morning.
That's an ideal setup, man. I kind of wish I had that opportunity. No.
Yeah. Well, you're more than welcome to come up. I'll take you in anytime you want.
Oh, yeah. 6.5 hour drive to go up.
Start working at six.
We'll leave at midnight. See right. you in the morning.
Yep. I'll get you free coffee.
Hey. Hey, I free coffee. I might head up there.
There you go.
Okay, Alyssa, I want your funniest story about working with Dad and Scout, and then I want your worst story.
Yeah, I would say one of the funniest, and it's not really funny for Scout, is trying to get him to get on an escalator for the first time. That was so funny to me. I don't know why, because he was so afraid of it, I guess, and he's such a big dog. Oh, like, I'm sure he's probably only half the size of Skeeter, but he's a big dog. And honestly, trying to get him on that escalator was a nightmare, but it was so funny.
Because like, we went through Tadsaw when it was still a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely at the top of my list.
Yeah, and just for so people know, it's not a requirement for that program anymore. Because a couple of dogs did catch their toenails in the escalator. And that's specifically a reason why I never trained Skeeter to ride an escalator, because Malamute's claws curve down like a cat's so that they have traction in the snow and ice. So even trimmed short, his claws still point straight down and dig right into those little grooves in an escalator. It's just too dangerous for him.
Yeah.
Right. Now Scout will give me a side eye when we approach an elevator escalator and like, seriously, we got to go on this thing.
Yeah. I've always just either taken the stairs or used the elevator just because of the shape of my dog's feet. I know it's more dangerous to put him on the escalator than to not. So,
right.
Okay. So what's your worst story?
I would say probably being up in Pittsburgh because that was the nearest Tadsaw trainer and being bombarded by people. Having Scout up there was definitely an experience. I was trying to be like a human shield, blocking them from petting Scout.
That mall. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I have to like stand. Scout stands on Dad's left side. So I kind of have to stand like on Scout's left side. It's almost mm-hmm. like I'm his service dog, keeping him from being pet or distracted in any way.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't ideal, but we made training it through.
Right around Christmas time. We were at that mall.
I just spent Saturday in a mall and let's just say it was, well, there's a teenage boy who thought it was funny to bark and growl at Skeeter, and I had to keep Nevermore from going over and slapping him. Skeeter ignored him. Skeeter was like, whatever.
And see, that's the easy part, is controlling the dog. It's controlling right. you and I.
Right.
Or controlling our spouses.
Yeah.
Is where the problem lies.
Well, and you know, that's something, I'm glad it's kind of come around to discussion. That's something I think it's important to understand is, look, most of the time, you're not going to have adverse interactions with people. And one thing, you know, we said it earlier, one thing to remember is when you walk in with a dog, everybody notices, because it's unusual to have a dog at that place. So as much as people really hate the terminology, every service dog handler is an ambassador for service dogs, because guess what? We're out there and we're visible. So it's real important, I think, that we be very careful in how we present ourselves when we have to deal with people. Because yes, people can be really obnoxious in public, out in public, and they take ludicrous advantage of, you know, well, you're in public, so you're not going to make a stink, and try and do things, pet the service dog, stop you, you know, try and talk to you about all, you know, everything. And it can be very, very frustrating if you're just trying to do something like, look, I need some new pants. I've got to go to the department store and shop for new clothes. And you get stopped every 5 or 10 feet because somebody wants to talk to you about your dog. And I think it's important that we remember that even though it's really annoying that these people interfere with us because they think that they have the right to because we have a dog, how we respond and how we interact with those people is going to leave an impression on them that they're going to take with them, and they're going to apply that impression to every service dog handler they meet after that. So we have the opportunity to be as gracious and educational as possible for us at that time, or be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a jerk, guess what they're going to think about service dogs and service dog handlers and how they're going to treat service dogs and service dog handlers after you're a jerk to them.
Right.
Where if you're just as gentle and noncommittal as possible, you know, oh, what a beautiful dog. Thank you. And keep moving rather than saying something smart or, you know, just say thank you and keep moving. Then they're going to say, well, they were certainly real busy, but, you know, at least they were polite.
Yep.
It's something we need to think about, service dog handlers and our families, as we go about things. I have cultivated Scav, you have an excuse. You literally can't hear them.
Correct.
I have trained myself in some situations. I can't hear them. Like the mall, it was loud. It was crowded. Probably 80% of the comments because of the background noise, I couldn't hear. My hearing loss is to that degree. When there's a lot of white noise in the background, if I'm not looking at you, I can't hear you. So I have managed to kind of train myself to tune out the commentary. I just, like, I have blinders on and earmuffs on. I don't hear them and I just ignore them. And a big part of that is because I know I don't have to have my head on a swivel because Skeeter's got his head on swivels. He's got my six. I don't have to keep looking around, you know? And I've learned to trust Skeeter over the years. But yeah, Nevermore, no. She hears all those comments and they get under her skin.
It's like you said, I don't get to hear those comments, which is probably my saving grace. Uh-huh. But, you know, give them the straight 3-strike rule if you do, you know.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And after the third time, if they're still following you being an ass, light into them. But
yeah.
At least try.
Yeah. And I guess now I had already passed and gone to the elevator while Nevermore was checking out in a store. And this woman said, he doesn't look disabled. And
oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Guess what, folks? Not everybody looks disabled. There are invisible disabilities out there that these dogs are trained to help us with. And if you're not our doctor, guess what? Your opinion doesn't mean squat.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. You have no call on whether or not I'm disabled.
Yeah, we just went over that with Caesar, like, you know, yesterday or mm-hmm.
yeah,
the other last week, rather.
Yeah, last week's show. Yeah, same thing. Some woman decided that he didn't look disabled enough. She's not his doctor. She's just some busybody, you know? Well, you don't look disabled enough to use the handicapped parking spot. Gee, the government seems to think that I am.
My buddy with the diabetic pump doesn't mm-hmm. look disabled until he falls down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think it's what has gotten the people in public in this society to the point where they think that it's okay to make these nasty snap judgments.
Yeah, it's everybody's entitled.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to.
You're entitled to my foot up your ass.
It's exactly it.
I'm sorry, Alyssa, but it gets real frustrating.
Oh, no, you're good.
Oh, yeah, you live in a veteran's home. So
yes, I do.
Yeah, you get to hear those choice terms.
Oh, yes, I do.
So I guess, you know, I appreciate that a person your age is interested in trying to help address that and help teach people how the dogs help so that they can learn why they shouldn't act like knuckleheads when they see us.
Yeah, I was, well, you've seen me send some of this stuff to you. And if it wasn't for you, I doubt she would have published that book.
Oh, well, but, I thought it was a great book, and that, why not publish it?
Yeah, correct.
You know?
But, you know, the more she does, and it's not because she's my daughter, the more she does, the better off I think the world's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
She took it upon herself, and she just ran with it. So,
well, absolutely commend you for that, Alyssa. Good job. And thank you. Thank you on behalf of myself and other handlers for taking it upon yourself to educate your peers so that they can behave when they see a service dog. Because some teenagers can't, and it can be very frustrating.
Yeah. And I've seen Dad get frustrated plenty of times because of people that just don't know how to act around a service dog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
Dad's all we're there to do is get whatever we're there to do done.
Right,
we're not there to entertain all these people.
You're there to live your life, not be a show for everybody else.
Yep, absolutely.
I just wanted to buy a loaf of bread, not scream and cuss all the way back to the Jeep. Right.
Oh yes, those are the days. Those are the days. Some days are more challenging than others.
It is what it is, and we'll keep on doing what we do.
Yep. At the end of the day, as difficult as it is dealing with the public while we're out handling our service dogs, it's worth it because guess what? We're out. We're in public. And we couldn't do that before we had our service dogs.
Right.
And that's what people miss. That's the very simple message, the very simple truth that people seem to not understand.
No. Before Scout, I was a nightmare in public. Oh, my wife absolutely dreaded me going anywhere in public.
Mm-hmm.
But at least with Scout, I'm civil. You know, I can actually maintain conversations and behave.
And you can go to a mall.
Right. And actually traverse the mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets arrested.
That's always a good thing when nobody
gets right. hurt. Right. And she already told a guy we went to dinner with after Scout, there will be another one. My life won't ever not have a service dog in it.
Yep. I agree.
It'll always be, you know, the Scab and Scout Chronicles, but it'll be a different dog.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Listen, how do you feel about that? If Scout has to retire, where's Scout going to go? What do you think?
I think that when he retires, if he has to, he'll kind of just become one of the pets, and I think that's going to be a little bit hard for him because he's so attached to Dad right now,
mm-hmm.
and he's not used to not going everywhere, and I think it's going to be really hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dad's just kind of going to have this other dog that's with him everywhere, and he's going to have to learn to trust him the way he trusts Scout. So it's going to be hard on both of them to get used to the change. Yeah.
Both of them have a tough job ahead of them.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
That's going to be a difficult.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about it with Skeeter. He's about to turn 9.
Yeah.
He's an old dog.
Because I'm going to have to put my trust in a dog that I really don't know.
Well, you build it the same way you built it with Scout.
Right. And then, of course, Scout's going to have to sit here with the other dog that is at the house. You know what I mean? Well, yeah. This dog takes his place wherever we're going.
Yeah.
Hopefully by then I'm at home.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, it's something we need to think about as handlers, as a community. We don't think, and our family, we need to prepare our family members for the fact that guess what? Dogs have shorter lifespans than we do.
Right.
You know, and that's just part of life, and it's not fun to think about, but I think it's definitely something that's important that we keep in the back of our mind as we work with our dogs, is that they have a finite lifespan.
Yep.
No.
But I'm telling you now, I'm going and I'm going to find me the ugliest dog with one leg and one ear and covered in scars and mange.
But it won't work because they'll go, oh my God, your dog's so hideous. And then start right. to talk about their ugly dog that they have when he's seven, you know?
Yeah, and then you're going to get another dog like Scout that picks you.
Right. That's you're the best
with another thing, cute though. One.
That's the best thing, though, is when the dog picks you.
Right.
It really is. That's
yeah.
That is the best.
When we were at the animal shelter, he was definitely looking at another dog, but Scout was just kind of sitting there like, please take me. And at first it was funny because Scout had bonded with my brother and not Dad. He was afraid to go to him. Uh-huh. And now he's so close and doesn't even come near my brother anymore.
That is kind of funny. That's pretty awesome. Okay, Alyssa, I need you to tell people about where to get your book.
You can get it on lulu.com, and it is currently 25% off.
Is there a special code?
Nope, it's just 25% off.
Just whoever wants to buy it can buy it.
Okay, so tell everybody the name of your book.
The True Scaven Scout Chronicles.
Okay, and that is available by Alyssa Kahlo. It's available at lulu.com. We'll make sure that we drop links in the chat, in the DV Radio chat. We'll also share links on the Service Dog Show page and posts about this show. I want you to think of one thought. What is one thing you want to leave everybody with as we start wrapping up the show?
If you don't know a lot about the service dogs and how they help people, definitely research it and definitely look at the ADA laws, as they could definitely help you in the near future.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Scout, you've got anything to add?
No, I don't think he has anything to add.
I'm sorry. Nope. Yeah. Man, I'm tired. It's been a long day, man. I am tired. The dogs are acting up all day.
Right. No, I'm good, day, brother.
Well, Alyssa, I want to thank you again very much for joining us, and I hope we can meet you sometime soon.
Yes, definitely.
Skeeter would like that. let's see. You, of course, are listening to the Service Dog Show here on DV Radio, and I would like to encourage you, if you appreciate the programming that you hear on DV Radio, to look at becoming a patron. Check out Patreon.com, excuse me, for all you snobs who don't want to pronounce it in the British manner, Patreon.com/DV Radio, and join one of the tiers. Whether it's $1 a month or $15 a month or $20, every little bit helps to make sure that us veterans and some of the other people who, it's not all veterans, but it's mostly veterans, but it helps make sure that we are able to continue to produce the quality programming that you hear from us. So please consider becoming a patron and helping support DB Radio. This has been a very fun episode. Alyssa, thank you again for joining us. Scav, I appreciate you bringing her on. And I do encourage you, absolutely, go to lulu.com, check out Alyssa's book, The True Scaven Scout Chronicles. I like it. I love my copy. I keep it on my coffee table and flip through it a couple of times, a month. I think it's a great book. It's a lot of fun. You've been listening to The Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. We'll talk to you next week.
DV Radio.